And just because someone is providing needed resources in the form of payment doesn't mean that everything they want rules the day. Will these put your product, your reputation, and most importantly, your team at risk? Hey there, Multipliers. It's Winston Faircloth, and welcome back to episode 69 of the For Love of Team. This is the podcast where leaders simplify teamwork, helping you surround yourself with others doing the work they love and simplifying your business processes so that you can serve more focused on the work that you love. Now, last time we examined the For Love of Team journey thus far, and to recap, we began by talking about one of the biggest blind spots for early stage founders in building a business that they love. I use the term level 3 leader to challenge founders to love their teams as much or more than they love their products and clients. And just to recap what those levels are, level 1 is your love of product. We're idea people. We love to solve problems, seize opportunities, create solutions, and yet we often have more ideas than bandwidth. And there's something about seeing a solution that others cannot see and bringing that to the marketplace. It really drives many of us to get into business in the first place. Level 2 is love of clients. You're finally getting traction, money starting to flow, and your idea is now serving others. The focus begins to shift to creating a client experience to be as good as your original product idea or service. And we all know what remarkable client experience feels like, and we're committed to bringing that to our clients. And then level 3, love of team. And this is something I say all the time. Your client experience will only rise to the level of your team's satisfaction in your business. So surrounding yourself with people working in their gifting focused on a common mission allows you to spend more of your time working where you're most gifted. So for here at Love for Team, it comes down to 3 words. Leaders simplify teamwork. So today I'm going to share the confessions of a level 2 leader. That's me. Well, before we do, don't you just love social media? Everything looks so perfect on the Instagrams and the Facebooks of the world. You never see a child melting down in the checkout line, screaming for a distant candy bar just out of reach. Or you never see an airport arrival picture of your suitcase open on the baggage claim belt with your clothes strewn everywhere. Or how about the wake-up photos with your hair going in 20 different directions? They always look so amazing waking up in the bed. Well, well-behaved children, distant travel, and restful sleep all look amazing on the Instagrams and the Facebooks. And in the weeks leading up to my next birthday coming up in March, I'm reading and following Wendy Speak's newest book, The 40-Day Social Media Fast. Exchange your online distractions for real-life devotion. I love this book. Every day, every morning, it brings another pearl, another insight about the world of pretend on social media. And this morning's reading especially caught my attention. Here's the money quote from today, and I'm taking a couple of different sentences here, but this was amazing. Social media is not a gold mine. It's simply the display case. So good. Much of what we see on social media, I'm going to call curated lies. They're not little white lies, maybe, but they're certainly not real life. And unfortunately, some of the same things are true in what we see in the online business world. Influencers, coaches, consultants, we all put our best foot forward. And yet when we watch their post, we see photo shoots mimicking real life, even from home offices during COVID. Except the lighting is stellar and the placement is just so. And even family pets play starring roles. And that's innocent enough. But what is particularly jarring is the emphasis on top-line revenue achievements or unicorn-type results from their clients. It's easy to see posts where founders talk about their revenue milestones of 6, 7, and 8 figure years, or others reference their total revenue over several years as a way to build authority. Now, I've fallen for this trap myself in my own promotional efforts. Just a year ago, I started a Facebook community called Future 7-Figure CEO, and my email list swelled by the hundreds. But what we fail to share in these posts is the truth about our businesses. So today, that's going to change here and now with the confessions of a level 2 leader. I'm going to take you on a story on how I failed to see how a level 3 mindset would really propel our business. And at For Love of Team, our mission is that every business owner not make the mistakes I'm about to share and get stuck at a level two leader position, as I did as the founding CEO of a social technology enterprise that had revenue of over $4 million a year at our peak. And as a reminder, level two leaders love their clients and products to the detriment of their team, and I followed this path. So just unpacking my story, level one, loving my service. Now, for years, I'd been seeking help as a local CEO of an international nonprofit organization, and our branch, our location, was working in a small college town. We needed help. We had big dreams for connecting with our community, yet we had no access to the technology that larger, more sophisticated organizations had. And this was right at the beginning of the internet catching hold, and there's just so many new ways to connect in our communities. We were nimble. We were scrappy, yet ultimately we were shut out of playing at a higher level. And as we tried to engage local businesses to help us, they knew very little about our unique business model and the premium we placed on efficiency, often at the expense of effectiveness. Their learning curve was going to be too high and their price was going to be too much. So eventually I found a willing partner in a sister organization to our north that was willing to provide us the access and services we needed. But there were challenges of making this scalable and sustainable, including the perception that the host organization would always get priority during crunch times over our little bitty contract. Well, I just intuitively knew that scalability ultimately depended upon creating an independent service, focused day-to-day on this work instead of the work of the host nonprofit organization. And eventually, we created one, and I became the founding CEO. And I'm not a techie by nature. Anyone who's watched me handle incoming phone calls while I've got one already going on understands that I'm not the techiest person you've ever met. Yet, I had a deep understanding of the pain and the promise that shared technology services could solve. I just love creating these services, figuring out how to serve clients. And I was solidly a creative, entrepreneurial, level one leader. Eventually, I progressed to level two. Sometime later, as we started expanding and growing beyond our initial group of pioneering clients, I began to love the process of meeting new people, new clients, discovering their dreams, and matching our services to their goals. Well, I don't know if you know much about the nonprofit space, but things move awfully slowly, especially when it comes to purchasing. So a promising conversation could take months to get to the negotiation stage. You'd have these great conversations and then they go ghost on you. And then all of a sudden they pop back up months later. Well, I specifically remember two early conversations as I moved into level two leadership. One was our very first new customer after our beta group. Now, we were based in Cincinnati and they were from Texas. And one day out of the blue, I'd met them at a conference months earlier, but one day we got a call from them out of the blue, and they called to say that their board had approved the move to work with us. Well, this was a surprise. It was my first formal conversation about terms of service and pricing, and at the time, we didn't really have an affordable way that we could service them being so far away from us. Almost all of our current clients were within a few hours' drive. But eventually, we solved this challenge, and because we did, we opened up the entire U.S. as potential clients after this work with our friends from Texas. And second, we were approached by one of the largest potential clients in our target market. They ran an almost identical system to what we were providing for several of our clients at this point in our growth. They were so large and so well-resourced, I never considered that our business model would be a great fit for them. Yet they were struggling to make their systems perform as well as ours, and one day called us for advice. In listening to it with our tech team, we offered to help them for free if it was a quick fix. And as it turns out, it was pretty easy to spot the challenge with a pair of fresh eyes. 6 months later, they called and became our largest client ever. And then I became hooked on becoming a level two leader. The client is always right, and customers are number one. And there is a whole bookshelves of books on this topic. There are courses and seminars that teach this, and it's a constant drumbeat. Even whole departments in larger organizations are focused on, quote, customer care, end quote. And yes, don't get me wrong, Happy customers are the lifeblood of every business. They're the reason we create products and solutions. They pay our bills. They fund our team. They expand our reach. I'm not knocking a customer-first mindset, except you can take it too far. There is a dark side of loving clients, and that comes when clients are prioritized to the exclusion of your products or team members. And just because someone is providing needed resources in the form of payment doesn't mean that everything they want rules the day, especially in technology or professional services. Demands to change the intended use case, regularly exceeding reasonable boundaries, demanding immediate custom response when they're paying for a standard, scalable service. Will these put your product, your reputation, and most importantly, your team at risk? Now back then, this is about 10 years ago, I was so afraid of disappointing our clients. And because honestly, I lived and breathed and embodied a scarcity mentality myself, I would press our team to make accommodations bending to their preferences. Now I'm picking that word carefully, intentionally, preferences. Now, flipping the seat for a second, as clients, we always want our way. We want things our way. We're paying good money for a service. We also want the lowest price. And we also want it as fast as possible. And even though, as an organization, we were pulling in about $4 million plus a year in revenue, we were dwarfed by the size and magnitude of clients who were sometimes 10 times larger than us. And what was once a very cohesive, highly functional team began to wear down under the load of unreasonable client demands. Even worse, these client demands were unshielded by the founding CEO. Now, had preferences truly been deemed the requirements needed by many clients, we could have easily accommodated that as a service upgrade. But preferences are just that, individual desires that are outside the agreed upon scope of work. You've heard of project creep. You've heard of scope creep. Preferences. Oof. Sometimes those preferences lead to really productive upgrades. But managing that set of expectations and managing those relationships are so critical. Over time, because I was not a level three leader, I was clients first. Whatever it took, let's run through the wall for them. Over time, these incessant requests took a fatal toll on our culture. A-plus players began to leave. In their place, we attracted people who were less connected to our mission and purpose. And slowly, inevitably, we lost our heart and soul at what I had once dreamed of many years before as a service designed and built just for us, just for these clients, became a nightmare of toxicity. Unless you think I'm being overly dramatic, towards the end of my tenure, we had two of my direct reports literally threatening each other, and we had to exit both one at a time before I decided to leave a few months later. Now, I'm not proud of this part of my career, not proud of these choices, how my decisions and more importantly, my indecisions made life miserable for our core group of team members, pioneers who took a chance, who took a career chance to join our little startup, our little mission, and how a customer first mindset can grow and lead to unintended consequences when taken to an extreme. Well, I now have the perspective of 5 years later. A new CEO is at the helm who understands the need for client boundaries and how a team-first culture wins in today's marketplace. He was there with us during those dark days, and I'm sure he took note of what he would do differently if given the chance. And I am really proud of the work that he's done with our original vision, and more importantly, how he shifted the culture. Distance, yes, perspective. About these days is a lesson I will never forget. And this fuels my desire to help you as a founder grow beyond being a level two client first leader. I have no doubt, in retrospect, that had I leveled up to love my team as much or more than my products or clients, that we'd be celebrating 20 years as founder today, and that we'd easily be running and managing an eight-figure business by now. But the kind of damage left in the wake of being a client-first business takes time to unwind and repair. I want you to learn from my experience. You can avoid this painful painful phase in your business. It need not be inevitable, with intentionality and heart, because your client care can never exceed how well you treat your team. A team-first business with A-plus players takes your baby, your products, takes your clients to a completely new and amazing level. So friend, I'm curious about where you are on your journey in building a team that you love. I believe that this is the path to multiplying your impact, your income, your margin, and more importantly, your freedom in business. Imagine a world where you are surrounding yourself with others doing the work that they love, simplifying your business processes so that you can serve more focused on the work that you love. This world is available to you as the founder. It takes focus and intentionality. So I want to hear from you. Let me know what you think about my confessions of a level 2 leader. Text me right now, 1-754-800-9461. That's 1-754-800-9461. There's no bots, no autoresponders on the other end. It's just me. So share your name and your story. I really want to hear from you. This U.S. text number again is 1-754-800-9461. And if you prefer, call and leave a voicemail message, 1-754-800-9461. And remember, leaders simplify teamwork, multiplying your impact, your income, margin, and freedom in business. Can't wait to catch you on the next episode.